I will be reading from the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me. But Jonah arose and fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go to them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like that to be broken. But the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down from the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, so that he will think upon us, and we perish not.
Good morning. One other thing that I needed to mention to you before we get into our study today, and that is this, that at the close of services, we'll have our closing song and closing prayer seated so that right afterwards we can recognize those who read the Bible through in 2015. So that will only take a moment or two, but that will be at the close of services this morning. So, did you remember to set your clock forward? I know that some would say, well, I'm here, aren't I? Well, did we make Bible school? That's my question. You know, it can be that you're just minutes into your day. What about tomorrow? You can be just minutes into your day, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, I forgot to set the clock forward, the one that wakes me up. Now we're late, where we don't know how we're going to get things done. Maybe for the young people, oh, I'm going to miss the school bus. Adults, we're thinking, how are we going to get that? You know, the traffic's going to be crazy. If I'd left an hour earlier when everybody else was oversleeping, I could have gotten through, you know, but all of these things are overwhelming. One thing and then another is getting in the way. And then you begin to think, you know, okay, I'm going to get all these things done. And that little phrase sticks in your head again. Well, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Okay, we're going to get all these things, and then you think, ah, that's just silly. I can't stand it. I just got too much going on. So many things happening, and I forgot my homework, by the way. Oh, boy. Okay, and that can be adults, too, by the way, young people, because you know, the way we're interconnected in the internet these days, we could be working at home. So many things we have to do. What are we going to do? And we're running out the door, and we're late, and then we go, oh, no, I forgot my phone, and I run back in the door to go get my phone, and then suddenly I don't hear my keys rattle. My keys! I've locked my keys in the house. Now what am I going to do? Well, I guess I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to think on this thing a little while. It's going to be a little while before somebody notices that I'm not there. I might even sit on the front porch and hear the phone ring in the house. I can't do anything about it. I'm just going to have to sit here and think about this thing a little bit. And then those little voices creep up. You know, the ones you hate, the ones that say, well, you know, if you had just done what your wife asked you to do yesterday and turned the clock forward when she said do that, you wouldn't be in this mess. You know, if you had just remembered to stand at the door one more time and do that little check, phone, keys, wallet, you would have had it all when you walked out the door. If you had just remembered to do, and don't you just hate those little voices when they talk to you? Oh, who wants to hear that? But you begin to think to yourself, if I'm going to be honest, I could have planned to get up a little early. I could have planned to make sure the keys are where they're supposed to be. I could have planned to make sure not to have to hunt my phone again in the morning. I could have planned those things. And now that the frustration's passing and I'm sitting here in the quiet, maybe I've got time to think about this a little bit. Who's really responsible? Ooh, don't say that, Jeff. Who's really responsible for the mess that I'm in? Who got me here? Well, it wasn't anybody else. It was all my work. It was all my doing. It was all my inattention. It was all my thinking I had everything under control and I knew which way to go. I could have written some things down. I could have done a lot of things, but I just didn't do it. And now I find myself in a mess. And I think about all of the things that I could have done, and then I think, there are some things I can't control. Ha! But most I can. Most of the time it has to do with the direction that I choose to go. Most of the time it has to do with whether I choose to get up thoughtfully or whether I get up angrily in a hurry because I've slept a little too late, or however I've gotten in these things. I've gotten myself into a box, if you will. The men are having some small leadership classes in which we're learning about this idea of getting in the box. And you know what getting in the box means is that I give excuses for my own anger and my own shortcomings. And I blame everybody else. That's because I'm not taking responsibility. And when we look at the book of Jonah today, and that's where we're going to be spending our time, sometimes we get so stressed that going in God's direction and doing things God's way will lead us to success that we say and do some of the most foolish things just because we don't want to accept that His way is the way. Our challenge today is to evaluate Jonah alongside ourselves and consider if we're marching in God's direction or if we're running in our own. You know, when we look at Jonah chapter 1, we see there that he's running away from God. Verses 1 through 6 tell us that Jonah was sent to Nineveh. Now, Jonah didn't like these people, not at all, because they were such an evil people. That they were people who did many hurtful things. And he felt like they were barbaric. And they were barbarians towards the Israelites in many ways. And it wouldn't take much for an Israelite, particularly a patriot like Jonah, to feel like they didn't deserve salvation, much less me go up there and take them this message from God. Jonah thought, God just doesn't get it. He wasn't paying attention, really. He didn't see all of what they were really doing. So Jonah, instead of going in God's direction, he went his own way and he sailed off. And then, in his flight from God, God opened up the storm clouds on them. Opened up the storm clouds on them. And the sailors that they were with were frightened. And we see there in verse 7 that they cast lots to see who was responsible for this evil that had come down upon them. Now, casting lots means that they had stones or sticks that were marked in a certain way. And they would put a condition on how those stones or sticks were to fall so that they would know what the best decision was. And they found out very quickly that it was Jonah who was responsible for this evil that had fallen upon them. And in verse 8, we see the questions begin there. And verse 9 is interesting to me because Jonah claims to fear the Lord. Think about this. A man who was literally running from God claims to fear the Lord. Now, this might be a different kind of fear than I'm thinking about. When I say that someone fears the Lord, I'm thinking about someone who has honor and respect and reverence for God, rather than running and trembling in their boots. And I would think that right now, Jonah was claiming one but doing the other. Amen? The chapter goes on to tell us how Jonah knew he was responsible for this situation, and he tried to get the men to throw him overboard. They wouldn't do it to begin with. They didn't want to do that at all. But verse 17 says, once they had done that and given in, that God prepared a big sea creature to swallow him. This word that's translated fish in some versions and others might be whale. Basically, this word means a sea creature that squirms. It came from a Hebrew word, dag, which is part of Dagon, which is used to talk about the fish god. When you see pictures of those things, it didn't look much like a fish, but it was a sea creature that squirmed. Those things are unimportant to me. What's most important here is that God had prepared that fish for Jonah. And now Jonah found himself in the belly of this sea creature. We know it swam. We know God prepared it. And we know it was big. Fundamentally, we find Jonah locked out of life, like we were locked out of the doors. He couldn't go anywhere. There he was. He was stuck. In all honesty, I ask this question as we look at these things to consider. If we think for a moment, could it be said that though we might claim to fear God, we may indeed be running from Him? Could that be where we've gone? That we're really running from Him? If you can't do it your way, you won't do it at all. You have plenty of reasons or excuses for thinking that your idea is the way, and if I can't do it my way, then God, I'm going another. Could it be that if you stopped for a moment and decided to truly love the way Jesus loves, that you could see the light? That means to love physically, and it means to love sacrificially. It means to be yielding emotionally. It means to be yielding willfully, as Jesus yielded to the will of the Father because He was concerned about the salvation of you and I. And it also means to be truly forgiving. Could it be that you found yourself struggling against God's plan? You know, there is a common plan for all of man, that plan of salvation that we find within the Holy Writ. We need to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. Not a belief like the acknowledgement we read of the demons in James. No, not just a shaking in our boots, but having a reverence for God and believing in Him and having a desire to make changes in our lives to put Him first. We need to repent of this struggle against God. We read in Acts chapter 17, at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. We need to make those changes in our lives, being willing to confess that Jesus is the Lord, the Savior, the Son of the living God. So we read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. And then we understand that we come in contact with the precious blood of Christ through that humble and obedient act in baptism that we read of in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. But it could be today as we open our book and we look at the pages that we find in Jonah, that we've done those things that God would have us to do to be His own. And yet, after we heard His word, we ran away from Him. We wanted to go our way. Like Jonah, do you claim to fear God and go in your own direction? Like Jonah, do you ever stop and think in those quiet moments about how much better things would be had you chosen to put God first? Like Jonah, would you dare to think how much better life will be in the future if you choose to no longer run away from Him but do things His way? You see, Jonah not only ran away from God, but he also ran to God. When we look at chapter 2, read with me there if you will. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and you heard my voice, for you had cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet you have brought me up, my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul faints within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came into you, into your holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Jonah had a change of heart. And instead of continuing to run away from God, he ran to God in his time of need. It's an interesting point here. I'm afraid that too many times when life beats up the person who's had their faith in God and they find themselves separated from him, rather than running back to him, when they find themselves in that place, they get angry and go even further. But that's not what we find within the Holy Writ that's going to give us success. Even that one which we refer to as the prodigal son, he found success when he had a change of heart. We see there beginning in Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11, this young man who had been given all of his inheritance, and he went out and he wasted it, living the party life, the party scene. And then when he hit rock bottom, he had a change of heart. Starting at verse 17, we read, But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. Jonah and the prodigal son both came to themselves. They came to themselves. They hit rock bottom before they made real change in their lives. And sometimes, going through those periods, we can get angry and blame God. No, for the most of us, we wouldn't admit that. A few do, but for the most of us, we wouldn't admit that we're angry with God, but we find ourselves angry with Him because we won't take responsibility for ourselves. I used to tell my children when they were little, and boy, they didn't like this. When they were in trouble, who should you be mad at right now? I didn't do that. And I wonder how often God thinks that when we get angry with Him because we've run away from Him, and then He looks at us and says, who should you be angry at? I gave you the way of success. Sometimes evil and the absence of God in the lives of others even impacts those who are good, by the way. And we have to keep that in mind. God gives everyone the freedom to choose. We can choose to follow after Him, or we can choose to push Him away. And those who push Him away hurt others as well as themselves. When catastrophe hits us, we have choices. We can choose to be faithful and hang on to our Almighty God, knowing that He is in control of all things, or we can blame God and run away. Notice what happens when we run with God. there's success in running with him. Chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid you. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh, they believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. And from the greatest of them to even to the least of them, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth, and then sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from his violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Now God saw their works and that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do to them, and he did it not. A real change brings a real response from God. You know, we can change sometimes on the outside and make others believe that we have made some changes, but God knows our hearts. Real change causes a real response from God. The evil that Nineveh was guilty of was about to be avenged by the Almighty. Notice, by the way, that he works on his timetable. And trying to free those people from the chains and the bounds of the evil that they were committing, God was doing all to provide them with the opportunity that they would turn from those things. God held back the vengeance that he had on their evil land, and success for these people was found because they listened to the message that Jonah brought to them. Running with God brings success and joy. If we do it God's way, every time we are going to win. Maybe not the way the world measures win, but the way God does. And when we follow his way, we will find success in this life and have a home with him in heaven. But wait a minute. Some of us just can't deal with doubting ourselves that we could possibly be wrong. How could the simple ways of the Creator be so successful? What a silly thing for a preacher to say, our logic demands, but our emotions too often time try to prevent us from taking responsibility for our own actions, give us excuse, even that we could blame God and send ourselves on a path of destruction. Because even when we see success in doing things God's way, sometimes we turn and we run against God. When we look at chapter 4, Jonah couldn't accept the success that God had provided. He wanted those evil people to get what they deserved. How dare they get the same pardon and the same mercy that an Israelite would get. Just isn't fair. Look with me in Jonah 4. But it displeased Jonah. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Angry, why? Because they did what God asked. He was angry because they did what God asked. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray you, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Didn't I tell you so? They were going to do these things. Therefore I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repent you of this evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, does it do you well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of that city, and there made him a booth and sat under the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. When Jonah saw they didn't get the punishment he thought they should get, he didn't just pout. He was outright angry. And he let it be known. Then God asked him, "How much good are you doing by pouting this way and being angry?" Do we do that? Do we do that? I mean, do you pout and get angry with God when you don't get your way? Do we treat him that way? Do you need a refresher course on who's in charge of all of creation? Do we need to sit back and think about our behavior and what it indicates our living process actually is? Jonah, he got a refresher course. When we look at verse 6 beginning, we see there that the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. He was blessed and he was happy. We're happy when we're blessed, amen? But watch, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it killed the gourd and withered it. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished to himself to die, and said, "It's better for me to die than live." Here we go with this "I want to die" stuff again. Here he goes again. Now God said to Jonah, "Does it do you well to be angry at the gourd?" God posed a reasonable thought question, right? And he said, "I do well to be angry at the gourd, even to death." Can you imagine? Notice how childish he was acting. Oh, but when I look in the mirror and think about my life, how many times have I been guilty of the same? What about you? Then the Lord said, "You had pity on the gourd, for the which you had not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night." God is still in control. Remember that, Jonah. "And should I not prepare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle?" So the moral of the story is God is always in control, and his direction is where we find success. His direction is where we find peace. His direction is where we find salvation. Now, as we went through our study this morning, you've heard the things that you need to do in order to be saved, to do what God would have you to do, to be his own. And many this day will stop in various places, but God asks us to go all the way and obey him. But as a child of God, could it be that you have claimed to fear God, but run away from him? Forget about everybody else for a moment. Just forget about everybody else for a moment and think about Jesus. And ask yourself, where do I stand before him as we stand and sing?